Everyone, please pray with me. Father, I just pray, as it says in your Psalms, that not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name, give glory because of your loving kindness, because of your truth. Father, I just pray that if no one takes anything away from tonight, that they would just remember that this is not a 12-step program the 12 steps are not what heal us. It's your son, Jesus Christ. And I pray that he would just be glorified in my story tonight. Amen. I just turned 30 in July. If you were to say to me 4 years ago that I'd be here sharing my testimony of God's redemptive work in my life, I'd have laughed in your face. God has always been present in my life, but it wasn't until I was old enough to make the conscious decision to follow him did I then understand it's not about church, but about Jesus. You see, his son is pursuing all of us, but it's our choice whether we want to acknowledge his existence and understand the love he has for us. I grew up in a very loving home in Omaha, Nebraska. Both of my parents poured themselves out for my sister and me growing up. My dad worked extremely hard and even long hours in the family business to afford my mom to stay at home and raise my sister and me. I'm about 5 years older than my sister, so I had a good number of years on my own as an only child, and it didn't take long for me to learn I was the focal point of their lives. I was pretty much willing to do anything they asked me so long as I was able to have their attention. When my sister came into the picture, I remember being excited about having a younger sibling and being an older brother. However, I quickly began to notice that my parents were spending a lot more time with my sister than with me. My sister had been born with neurofibromatosis, or NF for short. NF has been diagnosed as a genetic disorder of the nervous system and is characterized by patches of brown skin, a predisposition to scoliosis, and an overall slower development of motor skills as a child. My sister was the first in our family born with anything of this magnitude, so my parents did what they knew and sought help from all the doctors they could. She had multiple tests performed and follow-up tests to the tests, which required a lot of my parents' attention. I remember spending a lot of weekends with my grandma and grandpa, and looking back, those are some really great memories. Although I was able to spend time with my other family members, I was often not able to be around my parents. As I got older, I learned how to divert my parents' attention back to me by acting out through means of teasing and hurting my sister, punching holes in walls, and even running away from home. Looking back on my childhood, I caused a lot of additional stress on my parents' relationship because of my destructive behavior. During the summer between third and fourth grade, my parents institutionalized me in a child psychiatric hospital because they didn't know what else to do. I specifically remember being in two different hospitals. One lasted a week and another a month. I was sent from room to room and asked all sorts of questions. I felt confused, abandoned, and angry at my parents, but all I wanted to do was be able to go home. It was during that summer that I learned how to isolate for fear of being abandoned and how to perform to gain the approval of others. Before I left the hospital that summer, my one objective was to go to the all-white padded room. I kicked balls as hard as I could, tried running through the walls, and screamed as loud as I could, thinking maybe someone would hear me and understand that all I wanted was my parents. I picked up on the solution for me to be released, and I performed by answering the questions correctly and pretending to show signs of improvement in my counseling sessions. After that summer, I began playing sports and used that as an outlet for my frustrations instead of bottling everything up. My parents introduced me to church at a very young age. I recall seeing pictures of me at my baptism as an infant. My parents didn't really talk about God at home or even why we went to church, but I assumed it was what people did, so we should probably do it too. The only times I remember my dad going to church was on Christmas Eve, but most of the time my mom would take my sister and I on Sundays. When I was about 11, I went through confirmation at my church with my other peers. I recall specifically missing one of the meetings due to a family conflict, and my punishment was to write the Lord's Prayer out 25 times on a piece of paper. I didn't understand this at all, and it made me feel that God was punishing me through the actions of the pastor. Once I had finished the task, I was warmly welcomed back into the group, further escalating my confusion, but creating me a sense of performance that drives people-pleasing. During the summer before my sixth grade year, my parents sat my sister and me down to have a family chat. I wasn't about to have a fast one pulled over me, so I got up and proceeded to walk out of the room because I knew what was about to be said. What was about to be said was that my parents were getting a divorce. I felt I had been abandoned, and I was now forced to make the decision of who I was going to remain loyal to. I believed that because my parents had given up on their marriage, they had given up on me. In place of the affection and attention I so often desired growing up from my parents, I began looking for it in other areas. This ranged from excelling in the classroom, on the athletic field, and even in dating relationships. As I mentioned, my parents loved my sister and I dearly, and they would never want anything bad to happen to us. As probably most of us know, the enemy has a way of deceiving and enticing us to believe there is life outside of the one who created life. Shortly after my parents' divorce, I found my first pornographic magazine lying around my dad's house. Later that year, my cousin and I were messing around on the computer and found we could search for nude images of women. While in isolation, I found I could search and find a lot more than just naked pictures, but a world of pornographic film. My fear of abandonment was lost in this fantasy world where I was never turned away from and never told no. It created a false sense of reality and a high that would continue with me well after college. God had a plan for me in my life before I was created. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." He knew that I would behave the way I did as a child, the way I would respond to my parents' divorce, and the sin that would so entangle me. He directed my steps to move to Dallas for college, and it was there he introduced me to his loving kindness through a college campus ministry. I took part in a freshman men's Bible study in the book of Romans, and God revealed to me through his word that we've all fallen short of his standard, and that the wages of my sin is deserving of death. But he loves you and me so much that his only son, Jesus Christ, died for us. If we confess with our mouths Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. My freshman year, I made the choice to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior of my life. All the previous years before, I had operated as if God was like another human. And that as much as I tried to perform for others and gain their approval, whenever I messed up, I believed I had to do more right things to gain God's favor again. This sort of thinking was inherently wrong, but it wasn't what I had come to expect by performing for others. God's word says in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." It was extremely freeing when I understood I couldn't do anything other than turn to him and accept his free gift of grace in order for me to be made righteous in his eyes. God began to slowly chip away at the sin in my life after college. I started attending Watermark, and I thought, what the heck, I'll see what this community thing is all about. I'd heard the word pornography spoken in church for the first time, and I shared with my community group that that was something I struggled with. It wasn't long after, just a few meetings, one of the guys shared 1 Corinthians 10:13 with me. The Apostle Paul writes, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape, also so that you will be able to endure it." For the longest time, I believed the lie the world throws out that all men look at pornography and it's natural. No, it's not. It's our natural tendency to sin, but God's word is explicit in that we are commanded not to and can turn from it by his strength alone. Again, God's truth was freeing to me to be open about my life and not be fearful of rejection and abandonment. Instead, I was met with open arms of God through the people he was surrounding me with. I was encouraged to come check out Regeneration because it was a place that others with my similar struggle were coming to get help. I came my first night with an open mind, but who was I kidding? I did it because others wanted me to, and I was more interested in pleasing them than getting help. I sat through the large group meeting time and then left thinking, this isn't a place for me. I don't have any of those problems they are talking about, and boy, did my pride get the best of me. I had kept my sin a secret, and it impacted relationships to the point of falling out, and I was angry and didn't want my sin to ruin more relationships, so I came back to Regen a few months later and never looked back. I was asked to join up with a group of men who were all going through Regen at the same time. Looking back on those months, God was sweet to provide me with a group of solid believers who were each intentional and instrumental in my life to do as God does and love me right where I was, but love me so much to not let me stay where I was. These men asked me the questions I didn't want to be asked, but needed to be asked, and held me accountable to the things I said I was going to do. Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy." Many of those men still serve in Regen today, and I'll be forever thankful to the love they showed me. During my time in Regen, I still struggled with my sin. The enemy wasn't about to sit back and take the day off. His business is about stealing, killing, and destroying lives. God's business is about rescuing lives through the person of his son, Jesus Christ. Through sharing my struggles and confessing my sin, as step five instructs us to do, I experienced God's grace by not being outcast and rejected. The transformation of my heart away from the entanglements didn't happen overnight, but as God provided opportunities to act in faith, he was always there to catch me when I had fears or doubts. By exposing the sin I thought I would never share with anyone and listening to others share theirs, I felt closer to them and to God as a result of living in the light and being more known. I realized that authenticity breeds authenticity, and God chipped away at my fear of abandonment. As the song lyrics says, "Oh no, you never let me go, through the calm and through the storm." God was always there, and all I had to do was believe and trust him. He will never abandon me or you. He provides for us a community to live authentic life with, not in isolation, but openly and freely. I would be lying to you if I told you that after going through Regen, I haven't been tempted with my struggle to sin. Again, please don't hear me telling you that. I'm still faced with temptation to act out in sin. By practicing the principles of Regen daily, as step 12 instructs us to do, I've become more aware of the trigger points that led me from being tempted to acting out inappropriately. Through confession to my wife and community, I'm lovingly reminded of the price that was paid for my sin and encouraged by the love of Christ for me shown through his people. Being tempted is not a sin, but what we decide to do with the temptation is what matters. I've learned that in order to flee from the temptation, my only escape is to turn to Christ. I believe God has given me a new pair of eyes in which to view this world since having gone through recovery. I initially thought I was coming to Regen to find a cure for my sin of looking at pornography, but what I found was something else entirely. I found a more intimate relationship with Jesus and a greater understanding of the love he has for me and the price he paid for me to have eternal life. Before, I looked at reading the Bible as a check-the-box activity, but now it's a source of life for me. I desire to start my day by slowing down and listening to what his word says as a reminder of the hope he's laid out for me. God is constantly chipping away at the sin in my life and molding me into a godly man. My perception of dating changed, how I viewed the resources he provided, and I began telling others about the life change I'd experienced. My girlfriend at the time, Allison, now is my precious bride, and I had struggled with purity in the early part of our dating relationship. I wanted to honor God by honoring her and respecting her so we put the brakes on and only kissed for the last year and a half of our dating relationship. After college, I got in over my head in credit card debt. I now understood that God was calling me not to be a slave to the lender. After having an open conversation with my boss about my faith and my financial situation, I was welcomed into his home to live rent-free with him and his family. The goal was to pay off as much debt as possible and be in a better place to save for an engagement ring for Allison. I'm confident I wouldn't be here tonight telling you that I'm 1 month shy of being married to my best friend had it not been for that opportunity. I have the great privilege of serving alongside her in Regen and watching how God works in her life as she leads other women. Remember earlier when I said I was recovering from anger? Well, I quickly learned that being married has surely tested that area for me. I mean, who doesn't like knowing and believing they're right? Oftentimes I will think I'm right about something, but my wife is quick to remind me that although I believe I'm justified in my thinking, there is another way. The overall biggest change in all of my relationships is understanding the importance of forgiveness and keeping short accounts. God has softened my heart to identify when I've wronged someone else, to quickly go to them and seek forgiveness and make amends. This has helped me tremendously in my marriage and continues to be a way to prevent bitterness from taking root and making my relationship with my wife cancerous. Since having gone through Regen, my life is far from being unblemished. I've come to understand that sobriety from my sin and pornography has freed me to be open with my faith and to always give an account for the hope that is in me. Some recent happenings in my family took place this summer that caused a lot of pain for my family, but more so to my father. Through some counsel with a dear friend who I've had the blessing to serve alongside in Regen, my wife and I traveled to Nebraska to be the hands and feet of Christ. We didn't have an agenda while we were there other than to let my dad know he wasn't alone and that he was loved very much. I think if we all look at our lives, we all want to be loved. From a young age, I knew religion and church weren't something my dad was open to talking about. Through God's perfection of timing, I was able to sit down with my dad and tell him face to face my testimony and the hope and freedom I found in Jesus Christ. I shared with him the gospel and asked if he wanted to accept God's free gift of forgiveness, but he said he wasn't in a place to do that. The old me would have probably tried to force the issue and try to make him say what I wanted him to say, but all I had to do was be faithful, plant a seed, and let God do the rest. Before we left, I wrote my dad a letter reminding him that I love him and that God loves him. The fear of rejection certainly crept in because this was my dad. He was family, and I loved him so much. I saw a glimpse of how God feels since the world has rejected him, but he is working to draw those who know him nearer to him and to act in faith and extend the love he has for the world with others. Scripture analogizes humans as clay in the potter's hand and God as the potter. He has been reshaping me and helping me to renew my mind and look at the priorities I've made in this life. Since being married, my first priority has been to serve the Lord and then to serve my wife. Recently, my attitude towards work and performance in that area has changed insofar that I'm embarking on a totally different career path, which includes moving to Colorado in a month. This decision was not made hastily, but through much counsel and in community. I've been asking myself not what is going to provide the most money or comfort, but how I'm going to be to best love and serve God and my family and be the best leader for them. Looking back on my time in Regen, I'm so thankful for the friendships that have formed, but more importantly, to the change God orchestrated in my life. The 12 steps are a process, not a cure, and it takes effort and hard work, sometimes even at a cost to us. Having been involved in this ministry as a participant and a leader, God is constantly reminding me that there is so much he hasn't revealed about himself. Whether this is your 100th time or your very first time, please take hope and keep coming. The last thing the enemy wants is for any of us to grow closer in relationship with Jesus, who has conquered death and provides life both in the present life and in the life to come. We will never fully arrive to do this thing called life on our own, but if you didn't hear anything else tonight, hear this. God loves each and every one of us so much that he sent his son to live the life we never could. He loves you exactly where you are, but so much that he doesn't want you to stay where you are. Thanks for letting me share.